Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Really happy to be speaking with DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor. He joins the Annie Fry Show every Wednesday, usually right before I'm on. So happy to be here today. DeRoy, it's Tim Jones in the big chair today for Annie. Annie's out on maternity leave for a few weeks, and really glad to be able to speak to you today.
Tim, it's great to talk to you, and best wishes to Annie, your family, and the baby. I don't know if it's come along yet or on the way.
It has. It has. She had little Molly last week.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Well, that's great news. Well, good luck and best wishes to all of them.
Yeah. Thank you, DeRoy. And everybody's doing very well. So very good.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah. So, DeRoy, I'll get back to the whole cancel culture thing in a minute. But, you know, the news of the day, the news of the hour right now, we just potted up some of it, was Joe Biden wrapping up his meeting with Putin. And, you know, DeRoy, no matter who they are, Republican, Democrat, I think everybody goes into office thinking, well, I'll be able to have something else. I'll have a different rapport, a different approach, a different style with these horrific world leaders like Putin or Chairman Xi or Kim Jong-un or whoever it is. And, you know, then they learn that governing's hard. And Joe Biden should have known what he's getting into, right, DeRoy? Because he's been in the White House for 8 years before as Barack Obama's sidekick. And so, you know, he knows Putin. He knows how Putin's going to be. And it sounds like, once again, a world leader has gotten the upper hand on Joe Biden.
Well, I think you're right. And I think Joe Biden gave the upper hand away a few weeks ago when he basically handed over removed the sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which would connect Russia with Germany, I think provide 80% of the natural gas for Germany. I mean, it's almost like watching a friend of yours say, okay, well, you know, go right ahead and let that heroin dealer stick the needle in and turn you into a heroin addict. And you know, what could go wrong? even if the decision were, okay, let's do that, we should get something in return. Like, okay, you know, we'll let you have the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, but you got to get the troops off the Ukrainian border, or you've got to let this opposition leader, Navalny, go. You've got to hold free elections. You got to do something. But this was just handed over on a silver platter a couple of weeks ago. I don't think we got anything in return unless it's something in some secret documents that have not been released. You know, nothing on cybersecurity. We could have said we want the hackers who broke into the Colonial Pipeline and then hacked the JBS meatpacking company. We want them on an airplane headed towards Andrews Air Force Base for arrest and prosecution. We want them in the air in the next 90 minutes. That didn't happen. So a massive, massive concession, which is going to provide a lot of hard cash to the Kremlin and also create a dangerous situation for one of our NATO allies and basically make them dependent on the Kremlin for energy, wide open to having that natural gas shut off if Germany doesn't fall in line, if, let's say, the Russia invades Ukraine or there's some other international crisis. And, again, in return for what? Nothing, for all as I can tell.
DeRoy, you mentioned the hacks that increasingly look like they're from either hostile independent agents or at least agents working with our enemy governments and things like that. And you mentioned Russia, which is in the news today. Is this something that you think they've been capable of for a while and wouldn't do it under Trump because Trump would fight back so hard, and now Biden's not going to do anything, so let's hit the United States as hard as we can with this stuff?
I think it's the latter. I think they are testing. They tested Biden to see what the response would be. The response is incredibly weak. I think that Biden should have come out when the Colonial Pipeline was hacked and we discovered that the Russians did it. He came out and said, well, our intelligence says the Kremlin wasn't involved, so whatever. Look, we could have said we don't have any evidence that the Kremlin actually did this, but it still happened in Russia, and we expect the president of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin, to use all of his investigative resources and law enforcement resources to find the responsible parties and hand them over to the United States for prosecution. Now, I'm not sure that Putin actually would have done that, but at least rhetorically and diplomatically would have put us on record saying that that's what we wanted, and he would have suffered at least some PR damage. He didn't suffer any damage at all. And then a couple of days later, oh, yeah, let's have a summit. Let's get together and meet, which basically rewarded him for this. You know, I wouldn't have met with him right away. It's fine for the American president, Russian president to speak. I mean, they do still have atomic weapons they could lob at us. So I think the dialogue is fine. But you need to put some time between this awful attack on our sovereignty and our critical infrastructure and then rewarding this man with a summit. I think I would have pushed that off until the end of the summer, maybe the fall at the earliest.
You know, DeRoy, I've heard a lot of commentators, international commentators, and even folks like Nikki Haley, former ambassador to the UN, say that America should have gone in united, Republicans and Democrats united with Joe Biden as our current president, into the G7 summit, and there should have been three inflection points where we should have gotten something accomplished, where we should have applied some pressure, and that should have been on number one, on China and the origins of COVID-19 and what the heck was going on in the Wuhan lab named for the Wuhan coronavirus, which even liberal comedian Jon Stewart was making fun of this week. Mm-hmm. Number two, Russia. There should have been something going on there with Russia. There should have been some inflection points with Russia with the cybersecurity attacks. Number three, there should have been something which also involves Russia with the Iranian nuclear deal. Well, on all three of those, Joe Biden was either not present, didn't make any points, didn't score any goals. And on the third one, Iran, he seems to be more than willing to jump back into a really bad nuclear deal. You know, Donald Trump would have made some news on at least one, if not all three of those points. The national, the global liberal media would have freaked out, which would have meant it was good for America. DeRoy, the fact that there's really nothing coming out of the last week or so of all these meetings and all these summits and all these things on any of those points I just mentioned, that's not good for America, is it?
No, it's not good at all. I mean, this looked like just sort of a, I don't know, maybe like a friends reunion kind of thing. I mean, kind of like what I do with my old friends from junior high school. We get together every late January and go skiing in the Rockies, kind of like that, maybe without the actual skis and snow. I don't think anything concrete came out of this. It was seemed to be an international social occasion, chance to take some pictures and look beautiful in front of streets and the beaches of Cornwall.
Mm-hmm. With all the
UK.
Beautiful people, yeah.
Oh, yeah, beautiful people. Isn't that lovely? And then the same in NATO. And nothing concrete. Look, I mean, even if the decision were made, well, we don't want to pressure China, we don't want to push them too hard with sanctions, at a bare minimum, we should say, look, we're not going to sanction you, we're not going to do anything, but we have to have an explanation. We need to know what happened. We're not going to arrest Chinese scientists, but for Christ's sakes, give us a timeline of what happened, what took place, so at least we'll have answers on that. We've not even asked for that. I mean, that's the bare minimum, sort of light touch. I think much stronger is to sanction them and say, look, unless you people give us this information and fess up, you're going to suffer XYZ sanctions, whether it be trade-oriented or tariffs or fines or kick them out of the WHO, whatever it might be. But no price paid. I mean, not even just the point of telling us, okay, you don't even have to apologize. Just explain to us what happened. Not even that much has taken place. So, I mean, this is just one more area where Donald J. Trump's out of office, and instead of a tough guy who was brash and some people didn't care for his style, but nobody ever said he was a softie. And instead, we've got sort of, Mr. Rogers diplomacy.
DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor and an author. I'm looking at your latest piece from Newsmax.com. Memo to Manchin, join the GOP. This is an interesting topic to me, and we've kind of debated the merits of would that ever happen. What do you think about Manchin? I mean, he seems to be the last line of defense in a lot of ways, but would he ever actually join the GOP?
I don't know if he would, but he should. He should give it very serious thought because he's just being attacked by people in his own party. Mondaire Jones, he's a congressman from here in New York. He responded to an article in which Joe Manchin said that he would not vote for H.R. 1, the big nationalization of election law across the country. He's not a big fan of the of the infrastructure bill and so on. And Mondaire Jones, congressman, Democrat congressman from New York, said that Manchin's op-ed might as well be titled "Why I'll Vote to Preserve Jim Crow." You know, then you've got these other people saying that you know, this is Jim Crow-like behavior. Senator Manchin is a clown, said Jamel Hill, a contributor to Atlantic Magazine. You know, just get some really, really obnoxious comments from people in his own party. Meanwhile, the state of West Virginia has moved steadily right, going from supporting Mitt Romney back in 2008 by, I think it was about 55% or so, and then in this last go-around supporting Donald J. Trump for president by 69%. Only, I think, Wyoming voted for him for 70%. That was the only state that was more pro-Biden than, pro-Trump rather than was West Virginia. So his whole party's moving to the right. His whole party's becoming more Republican. I think you got to just, you know, keep up with the West Virginians and switch parties and stop taking all this abuse and instead be a party where he'll be, you know, welcomed, applauded, and respected.
DeRoy, last topic I want to finish where I started. I played that clip from Clay Travis about cancel culture. And it's interesting, DeRoy, you see this little, it's like the slow turning of the Titanic. And I don't know if they'll be able to avoid the iceberg or not, but you've got some old-fashioned liberals, old-fashioned Democrats like James Carville, Bill Maher, this week John Stewart coming out and saying, you know, stop saying that the virus that came from the Wuhan lab, saying it's Wuhan coronavirus, is racist, it's stupid, we should be figuring this out. You know, all these kind of old-fashioned, old-school liberals, they're speaking up against the woke supremacy, the cancel culture. They're concerned because they know that ultimately that divides their party. Deep fissures within it, and they know they are going to have trouble. They have had trouble winning many elections. They almost lost the House this last go-around. It's not looking good for them in 2022. But, DeRoy, I don't know. Is the new AOC squad, left-wing lunatics, going to listen to these old fuddy-duddies or not? Or, you know, is cancel culture, is it jump the shark? Are we going to finally get rid of this awful experiment? Or, you know, what say you on this whole topic?
Yeah, I think that the AOC, Ilhan Omar crowd, they're not going to be swayed. They're hard, hard left. You know, if they're not fully communist, they're at least neo-Marxians, and I think neo-totalitarians as well. So I don't think they're going to have any sense to dial this back at all. Mm-hmm. What I do see happening is a lot of parents who are very upset about critical race theory and are not particularly crazy. I'm talking about mainly whites, but there are blacks who are upset about this as well. But the white parents who come home and hear from their kids who were, you know, first, second, third grade, you know, mommy, daddy, I was called a racist today just because I'm white. Mm. I don't think any parent, you know, left, middle, right, likes to hear that sort of stuff. And so in the last few weeks, you've seen parents pouring into school board meetings, outraged and enraged, and saying, what are you doing? You're brainwashing our kids. You are calling them names. You're calling them racist. The worst, you know, other than murder and rapist, probably the worst name you can be called in this country. And they're not at all amused, and they've been recalling school board members, running against them, and so on. And so I think that if the left keeps pushing this nonsense, it's going to boomerang in their faces badly, and they'll be in big trouble come November 2022.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely, truly, truly indeed. DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor, joins us every Wednesday afternoon here on the Annie Fry Show. DeRoy, thanks for all the great time today. Appreciate the insight.
My pleasure. Great talking with you.
Yeah, you too as well.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.